Today, we're going to talk about how nihilism could be a terrible form of copium. Now, a lot of y'all may reject this immediately, being like, no, like nihilism is a fully defensible philosophical position, which I think is fine. Like, this is not a channel about philosophy. This is a channel about human beings. And the problem is that when you take this existential philosophy that life has no meaning and you stick it inside a human being, it causes all kinds of problems. And this is something that I really kind of struggled with as a psychiatrist, because I noticed that people would come into my office and some of them would really like lack meaning or purpose in life and others didn't. And I always asked myself, okay, from an objective standpoint, if we say that life has no inherent meaning because we're not worried about God or religion or anything like that, how is it that some people are able to find meaning and other people aren't? So literally, I want y'all to think about this, right? So there are two human beings who are moving through the exact same world, have relatively similar experiences, and yet one person is able to find meaning and someone else is not able to find meaning. They look at the world that they live in and they say, there's no point to any of this. And it turns out that the reason for that is because the way that their brains interpret their experiences, the dopaminergic responses they have, the way that they think in response to a given situation is actually different. But that's not the problem. The reason that I'm really concerned about nihilism is because it's bad. So let's take a look at the data. The relationship between purpose in life and depression and anxiety, a meta-analysis. The mean weighted difference between purpose in life and depression was negative 0.49. The purpose in life and anxiety mean weighted effect size was negative 0.36. So this basically means the more purpose you have, the less depression and anxiety you have. And both approach deficits and avoidance motivation are argued to play a role in the relationship between purpose and psychopathology, with greater purpose potentially limiting avoidance tendencies and reducing the effects of depression and anxiety. Now, this is the core of the problem, okay? Is that if we lack purpose in life, we are less likely to engage in difficult things. And as we are less likely to engage in difficult things, i.e. greater avoidance behaviors, this will sort of narrow the scope of our life. And this is where Ernest Becker described this incredibly well in their book, The Denial of Death. The more you shrink back from the difficulties and darings of life, the more you naturally come to feel inept. The lower is your self-evaluation. It is ineluctable. I don't know what that word means. If one's life has been a series of silent retreats, one ends up firmly wedged into a corner and has nowhere else to retreat. This state is the bogging down of depression. Fear of life leads to excessive fear of death. Finally, one doesn't dare to move. The patient lies in bed for days on end, not eating, letting the housework pile up, fouling the bed. So y'all may say, okay, but if we look at Nietzsche's philosophy, he says that there's no inherent purpose in life, so life has to be discovered. Fair enough, right? So I'm a big fan of discovering purpose in life. But the question still remains, how do we find that purpose in life, right? What is the process that gets us to purpose? And this is where things become really, really scary, because unless we understand what nihilism truly is from a psychological perspective, from a neuroscience perspective, it will be very difficult to find purpose. So when I work with human beings, what I find is a description that's very similar to this, okay? So you're living your life and you don't really see a point to it, right? There's like, I don't want to be one of these plebs that's just like eat, drink, and marry, like be captain of the football team. I can't be captain of the football team. Go to college, get some dead-end job, and then what? Like, what's the point of all of this? What's the point of all of the grind? And as we sort of ask ourselves, what's the point of this stupid grind, which, by the way, is produced by your brain, which we'll get to in a second, right? Because there's a lot of human beings out there, a lot of normies that are like all into the grind. And they're so like, they're like, oh, like I want to get a nice handbag and I want to get this Instagram post and I want to get this kind of fancy carrot ring. And then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And they're like these like people who are kind of these empty headed fucking normie plebs who are living life. And then there's some of us who are like thinkers, right? Who look at this and we say, this life is empty. But then the problem is that as we go through life, okay, we are faced with these little challenges, like these little things, like should I get up at 5 a.m. to meditate every day, or should I get up at 6 for work, right? We face all these little challenges. Should I go on this dating app? Should I go to the singles meetup? Should I go to this networking event? Should I polish up my resume? There's all these little things in life. And when you're facing life with sort of like, what's the point? You have a series of silent retreats. You're like, I don't think so. And then that creates a huge problem, because the more that you retreat from life, the more that the normies move forward and the more further behind you fall. And then it becomes really hard to engage with life because you don't see a point to it.
When people hear about our coaching program, their first response is usually, why would I work with another human being when I can watch YouTube videos all on my own? Working with a coach is about amplifying your time and effort. We're great at wanting things and even making some progress, but we usually struggle with follow through or have some kind of setback. And that's exactly where working with a coach can help. Coaches provide personalized support to help you set appropriate goals, make progress, and even work through setbacks. Just let us know what your goals are, what kind of support you're looking for, and we'll match you with the best coach for your unique needs. Check out the link in the description below to see if coaching is right for you.
And the other problem with this is the more nihilistic we become, the less like point we have to do things. What ends up motivating us, right? So if we're not motivated by some grander sense of purpose, we end up being more vulnerable to things like escape behaviors. So let's take a look at Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, which is a wonderful text on nihilism, sort of the intersection between nihilism and psychiatry. Moreover, there are various masks and guises under which the existential vacuum appears. Sometimes the frustrated will to meaning, that's like finding a purpose in life, is vicariously compensated for by a will to power, including the most primitive form of will to power, the will to money. In other cases, the place of frustrated will to meaning is taken by the will to pleasure. That is why existential frustration often eventuates in sexual compensation. We can observe in such cases that the sexual libido becomes rampant in the existential vacuum. Okay? So I know that's like kind of complicated. So let's understand this. So if we lack purpose in life, it's going to get replaced by something. And this is where, you know, I kind of talk about all of the normies, right, that leave you behind. But I would say more than 50% of nihilists that I've worked with are actually incredibly successful people. So since they have no purpose in life, since they have nothing driving them forward, and medical students are the best example of this, right? So since there's no, like, I don't actually have a reason to do anything, I fill it up with other stuff. Yeah, why am I going to become a doctor? Because then fucking women like doctors, right? And then I'm going to have money, and then I can go on vacation, and then I'm going to be somebody. So a lot of people will chase things like investment banking or private equity or lots of money, lots of power. They'll try to become alpha males, and I don't really have a purpose in life, so I'm going to go to an alpha male boot camp so that I can be powerful. And once I have powerful, I can do whatever I want. And in the absence of meaning in life, they will chase pleasure. And this is also where we can see that there are studies that show that meaninglessness in life is correlated with things like addiction, is correlated with things like pornography addiction, alcohol addiction, marijuana addiction. So if we don't have a driving compass forward, we will replace that with something empty. It'll be the search for power without purpose, right? It's not like, I want to be powerful so that I can do something good in the world. Or people may even say that. I hear this all the time in like medical student interviews where they're like, yeah, I want to help the world. And it's like, okay, you don't have to go to medical school for 4 years and residency for 3 years to help the world. You can go to a soup kitchen today, right? You can spend the next 4 years of your life helping people in the soup kitchen. You will probably help more people than you will in 4 years of medical school. But we don't really say that, right? We don't really say like, but that's not how they think, right? What they're really looking for is the power, the prestige, the money, the sexual gratification. And so this is the challenge with nihilism, is that if you're nihilistic, you kind of don't see purpose in life, right? You retreat from life in some ways. And even if you're very successful, you may have noticed that you retreat from life in subtle but very important ways. So even if you're successful, there are probably all these chances where you like could have done something good. You could have made art. You could have made music. You could have become a video game developer, but instead you joined a private equity firm or you ended up working for one of these like gigantic evil tech giants. And that's where we see like even memes like this of like, you know, teaches stuff to kids, 60K per year, or sells people stuff 220K a year, does nothing for 350K a year, or makes software that kills people for like 450K a year, right? And that's sort of like what happens in life, is you can sort of end up without purpose and still be really successful. So y'all may say like, okay, Dr. K, like nihilism is a philosophy. You're not representing it correctly. Like, fair enough, right? So where I'm coming from is that I think the majority of people, the people on the planet who describe themselves as nihilists, do not have a meaning or purpose. And where I'm coming from is that if you do not have meaning or purpose, it hurts you very noticeably. So here's a paper that shows purpose in life predicts allostatic load 10 years later. We found that greater life purpose predicted lower levels of allostatic load at follow-up, even when controlling for other aspects of psychological well-being potentially associated with allostatic load. Now, this begs the question, what the hell is allostatic load? Allostasis, therefore, refers to the physiological change that the cardiovascular, autonomic, neuroendocrine, immune, and metabolic systems simultaneously undergo in situations of stress, i.e. how your whole body responds to stress. Too frequently, too sustained or inappropriate cycles of allostasis, i.e. too much stress, lead to a state of biological frailty known as allostatic load, which is positively associated with greater risk of diseases, cognitive decline, and mortality. So this is a paper that is showing us that purpose in life predicts your body, your immune system, your psychological, your neuroscience response to stressors in life. So when life throws me some kind of challenge, like I lose my job, or I go through a divorce, or my partner comes up to me and says, hey, I want a divorce. Literally, the amount of cortisol that my body produces in response to that, the amount of adrenaline that it produces, what happens to my heart rate, my blood pressure over the course of the next year, which then feeds into my cardiac mortality chances, right? All of these like neuroendocrine problems and things like that. Purpose protects you from all of this stuff. So if you lack a purpose in life, I think it is harming you in a very real way. So if nihilism is bad, the first thing that we have to understand is how does one become nihilistic? And this is where nihilism is a reaction, a natural reaction to certain circumstances. So let's take a look at Frankl again. Apathy, the main symptom of the second phase, was a necessary mechanism of self-defense, okay? Reality dimmed and all sorts and all emotions were centered on one task, preserving one's own life and the other fellow. So the first thing to understand is that nihilism is a very natural reaction to the frustration of your efforts. And the really scary thing is the more heroic your effort, if it gets frustrated, the more likely you are to become nihilistic. So in the case of Frankl, what he saw is that there were a lot of people who were like in these concentration camps. And when they would try to do something, right, if they would get stopped by the guards, the more that the guards made their efforts useless in life. We also see this with like trauma and CPTSD, where if you grew up in a situation where you tried really hard and you got really frustrated, I'm not saying psychologically frustrated, I mean that your efforts did not yield results, right? So the more effort you put in and the less life gives you, the more likely you are to respond with nihilism. And this is sort of like an evolutionary response, okay? So our brain has two modes. It has a mode of building and it has a mode of surviving. So when we're in survival mode, we are actually conserving our energy. We are conserving our efforts. We're saying we're just going to get through today. That becomes the goal, not build for tomorrow. And so the more nihilistic we become, the more we lose sight of the future. So Frankl describes this really well. The prisoner who had lost faith in the future, his future was doomed. With his loss of belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. He let himself decline and became subject to mental and physical decay. Usually it began with the prisoner refusing one morning to get dressed and wash or to go out on the parade grounds. No entreaties, no blows, no threats had any effect. He just lay there, hardly moving. If this crisis was brought about by an illness, he refused to be taken to the sick bay or to do anything to help himself. He simply gave up. There he remained, lying in his own excreta, and nothing bothered him anymore. So this is a natural reaction at some point. This is sort of the dark night of the soul that so many people face, where I try to build for a future, I get rebuffed in some way, and then I sort of become listless, right? There's no point in trying. There's no purpose. And I think what happens is this is the way this looked when you were in a concentration camp. In today's world, what does this look like? This looks like waking up, maybe going to your job, maybe forcing yourself to do the bare minimum at work so you don't get fired, flagellating yourself to strive for promotion because that's what you should do, maybe even being objectively successful in life. But when you leave your job, when you have a moment to yourself, you end up just spending time on the screen, just looking at like things on the internet, doom scrolling, I think is a really good example of this, right? So if Viktor Frankl, if you took these people in concentration camps and you gave them all the screens that we have today, what kinds of behaviors would they exhibit? They would exhibit exactly what we're seeing today with a lot of addictive behaviors towards technology. So in the nihilistic reaction, we no longer strive for something because striving requires like a reason to do it. And then we sort of default to like lying in our own excreta, just surviving, getting through the day, getting through the day, getting through the grind. We feel super burnt out. But then that creates a problem because even if we're sort of trying to survive for today, no one is going to come from the outside and give you meaning, or the likelihood of that is really low. The really hard challenge about this is if you kind of get stuck in this whirlpool of nihilism, you basically have to pull yourself out by your bootstraps, right? And this is kind of what I see. This is so like scary to describe, but it's like people will be sort of living these empty existences and they say, I got to change this. I got to change this. So they dig really deep. They use a lot of willpower and they say, okay, I'm tired of being lonely. I'm going to get out back into the dating world. And as they get out back into the dating world, they push themselves a lot. They push themselves to do something. But even when they sort of put themselves back out there, the responses aren't great. And since they're more vulnerable to depression, since they're more vulnerable to anxiety, since they're more vulnerable to addiction, since they're more vulnerable to allostatic load and a higher stress response in these situations, it's like every attempt they make to get out of the box, they get pummeled and then back to square one. So how do we get over this? This is where the neuroscience is really cool. So I got to explain this for a second, okay? Because this like fucking excites me. So if you sort of think about like normies, okay, who are like living a normal life, and you think about you, okay? And maybe you're a normie because we have a lot of normies on our channel now. There is a huge difference in literally the way that your brain processes information, like what goes on in your brain, okay? So let's give you just one really simple and scary example of this. So some of y'all may say, yeah, the reason I'm nihilistic is because life doesn't have any actual meaning. Like that's not fake, that's like real, okay? And it turns out, I hate to break it to you, you're right. So spiritually neurotic has been long since where psychoanalysis wants to bring him, namely at the point of seeing through the deception of the world of sense, the falsity of reality. He suffers not from all the pathological mechanisms which are psychically necessary for living and wholesome, but in the refusal of these mechanisms, which is just what robs him of the illusions important for living. He is much nearer to the actual truth psychologically than the others, and it is just that from which he suffers. So what Otto Rank said many years ago, which has been proven by lots of studies on depressive realism and things like that, is that if you're nihilistic, your biggest problem is not that you're wrong, it's that you're right, and that you lack the necessary illusions of healthy psychological functioning. So this is crazy, right? So if y'all are like, oh my God, all these normies are deluding themselves with Gucci bags and Instagram, whatever the fuck, and like, you're not wrong. This is insane. So in order to be a psychologically healthy human being, you need a healthy layer of illusion about what the world is in order to function properly. And once you restore that, I don't know that you need to restore it. That's how most people get through it. If you've lost it, we're going to show you a different way. But like, you're not wrong in the sense that if you don't see meaning and everything is shit, like you're not wrong, you're right. The problem though is that even if you're right, it doesn't change the challenge that you face, right? Because now you've got to live in this world. It's not enjoyable. You're surviving. You're not thriving. And while the normies may be able to thrive because they have an illusion, you're unfortunately, I'm sorry, going to have to work harder. But I'm here to help you. So don't give up hope. That's why we're making this video, because there is a path. If you've lost the illusions of life, I want to lay out a path that, fingers crossed, will help you find meaning while maintaining your real version of life, okay? We don't need to restore our illusions or delude ourselves. We just need to understand what's going on, okay? So here's the first thing you got to understand about your brain. So people who are more likely to be nihilistic and lose purpose in life probably have alterations of their dopaminergic circuitry and are more prone to anhedonia. So one really good example of this is that a lot of people that I've worked with that I think are kind of like nihilistic have something called social anhedonia, which means that the amount of dopamine that is secreted in their brain through social interactions is lower than normal. So you know how like some people like small talk and they're like, they just enjoy small talk. And it's like you find small talk to be incredibly boring. So I don't know if this makes sense, but literally in the brains of people who like small talk versus don't like small talk, their dopaminergic response is different. So some people get actually a decent amount of dopamine from just talking to another human being. Their brain is simply wired that way. And some of us find that just to just be like annoying and a waste of time, okay? So there are alterations in your dopaminergic circuitry if you are nihilistic. And what that sort of means, let's like think about the implications of that. That means that when you take an action, the inherent amount of pleasure that you experience is going to be lower than someone who is not nihilistic. And if we think about the implications of that, that means that it's not fun for you, which means that your reinforcement towards that behavior is less. And if that reinforcement towards that behavior is less, that means that our motivation starts to decrease. If our motivation starts to decrease, we move further into the camp of just existing and being triggered by our environment to do the bare minimum, right? So when our environment pushes us, we do it, but then we return to our state of just kind of sitting there. So there are alterations in dopaminergic circuitry, okay? Second thing is that people who are nihilistic tend to be very, very ruminative. So if you literally look at like a non-nihilistic person versus a nihilistic person, the amount of time that a nihilistic person spends in their own head is way higher. So they tend to be thinkers. So this also becomes really, really like functionally important, because if I'm stuck in my own head, there's sort of like this inverse correlation between being in my head and acting. Whereas if we think about all these like bots, right, who are just like, da, 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 I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Isn't life fun and joyous and grand? And I'm going to go sit in the park and enjoy the sunshine, right? They don't like, they're not stuck in their own head. They're out there like living life, whereas we're sort of trapped in our own head. And there are associations with rumination. Literally, when you have one thought, the likelihood that that will lead to another thought, which will lead to another thought, which will lead to another thought, that you will spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours thinking is way higher. And if we look at nihilistic philosophers, like they were thinkers, and chances are you're a thinker too. The next thing to keep in mind is that this is what makes it so bad. So thinking in and of itself is not a problem. Even being stuck in your head in and of itself is not necessarily a problem. Maybe it correlates with less action, which is maybe a problem. The other problem with nihilists is that the content of their thinking is usually about themselves. So they also, there's some evidence that they have hyperactive default mode networks. So the default mode network is the part of your brain that thinks about you. So what that sort of means is not only are you ruminating in your head, but the content of your rumination is focused on yourself in some way. So either you're thinking about how much of a loser you are, you're thinking about how hard things are for you, you're thinking how much you wish you were like other people. So you are thinking about yourself in some way. So these are three neuroscience traits which will predispose you and are mechanisms for nihilism. So now the question becomes, okay, are you screwed? Absolutely not, right? So the cool thing is that if we look at nihilism, there's a group of people like Viktor Frankl is kind of at the top of the list, where he also did a lot of psychotherapy, developed his own thing called logotherapy, which basically, if you have lost the illusion of the joy of life, how do you go about finding meaning and purpose? Because if you can find meaning and purpose, the advantage of that is your avoidance behaviors, your escapism, your chasing power for its own sake, money for its own sake, sexual gratification, pornography, being an alpha male, whatever, for its own sake, and sort of having this kind of empty life, right? Does this kind of make sense? Like so many of the alpha males that I run into, they actually lack meaning in their life. They're not like their purpose is to be an alpha. They're like, I'm devoting all my efforts to being an alpha. Whereas I look at all these quote unquote beta males, slightly overweight dudes like at the playground who are like living their life with their wife and their kids, and they're just like living a normal life, and they're kind of having fun, and they're sort of like, life is good and life is enjoyable, and they're just living it. So how do we get there? So there are a couple of fundamental things that we need to change that will hopefully give us the requisite building blocks to find meaning in life. And now this is, I got to explain this for a second because it's kind of confusing. A lot of people will try to find meaning, but you can't find meaning. That's why it's so damn hard. What you have to do, so if we're saying that neuroscience, that a certain kind of neuroscience activity predisposes you to nihilism, it should follow that if we reverse that neuroscience activity, meaning will more easily be found. And that is what I have seen as a psychiatrist. It is not about waking up one day and asking yourself, what is the purpose of my life? It is changing the way that you interact with life so that your brain turns on in some ways. And then you'll fucking, I know this sounds insane, you will wake up one day and you'll be like, oh, I have meaning. Like literally that is the most common thing. You don't find the meaning. You give your brain the right building blocks so that it pieces together the meaning for you. Okay, so what are those building blocks? The first is to ask yourself, what makes life meaningless? Not that life is meaningless, okay? You have to ask yourself, what makes life meaningless? And it's kind of interesting, right? So it's kind of like life would have meaning except this thing is in the way. And so if you ask yourself this question, and it's not an easy question to answer, because if you kind of think about it, like you really have to like work towards answering this question. I would recommend that you go on like a 4-hour hike in a safe way or whatever, and really think about the question, what makes life meaningless? What is it that makes an absence of meaning in your life? And what you will find is that there will be some kind of vacuum, right? So your life may have meaning if you had this or if you had this or if you had this, but that answer won't be easily accessible because then your mind will rebel against that and it'll say, oh, just because I have a partner doesn't mean that my life will have meaning. So be careful about asking that question in the way that you, I don't know if this makes sense, the way that you find an answer and then you'll discount the answer. That will be the ruminative default mode network thinking of your brain. You'll have an answer, but you'll immediately discount it. So go ahead and find the answer. Don't worry, you don't have to actually make it or anything like that yet. We'll get to that in a second. But this is a really important question to find a compass. The purpose of a compass is not to achieve something, it is to move in that direction, okay? Then we also know that there are a couple of things which are required to, not required, but basically required. Let's just use that word. Required to have meaning in life. And the first is that human beings, in order for human beings to feel meaningful, we have to give something to life. So we can call this creativity, but what I literally mean is like, if we think about what gives a human being's life meaning, it's like when I look out into the world, I have some kind of effect. I have some kind of impact. Like literally, what is the meaning? What is the purpose of my life? The purpose can be represented by something outside that exists when I'm gone or when I'm not there. So for some people, meaning is like raising healthy kids. For some people, meaning is creating artwork or music or whatever, right? You have to leave your mark on the world, because if you have a mark on a world, on the world, you have an impact on the world, then it's hard to not feel like you have meaning. Now, that isn't the meaning. So this is where things get a little bit subtle. That itself is not the meaning. Like making art is not the meaning. Remember, what we're doing is giving your brain building blocks. So literally, as you create stuff, okay, as you put yourself into the world, and I don't mean make an attempt at something. I mean have some manifestation of your will that exists in the world, meaning will follow. This is essentially the opposite of those little silent retreats that you make. Your life is full of a lot of silent retreats where I'm running away from this tiny little conflict and this tiny little conflict, this tiny little conflict, this tiny little conflict, okay? So think about what kind of impact you want to have in the world. I don't care. It doesn't have to be like a grand impact or anything like that, but each and every one of us have a desire to like make something. That's a core human desire. So think about what that is and take some step forward in that way. I'm not saying that the first step or even the thousandth step will give you a sense of meaning. That is the building block that will then get turned composted by your brain and hopefully end you up with meaning. Second thing that we have to do is we have to receive things from life. So we have to give something to life and we have to receive something from life. And this is where a lot of the nihilistic people that I work with aren't really like receiving things from life. They're just existing. So I would say a really good example of this is savoring, right? So life has some amount of joy. Like true joy, not dopaminergic pornography usage video game stuff. I mean like joy. Nice things can happen to you. This is where we go back to something like go to an art museum and then like lay out on the lawn and just like enjoy what life has to give you. Even if you enjoy, even if you, you know, if you're like one of these people who's like eating tendies or whatever all the time, like you can still savor your tendies, right? Don't watch anime while you're eating your tendies. Sit there and be like, wow, like these tendies are really amazing. Like, let me enjoy these tendies. I have some ranch dipping sauce. I've got some barbecue sauce. I have some buffalo sauce. Like, let's go tendies. So try to savor life. Try to give what life is trying to offer you stuff. But as long as your head is trying to like, I don't know how to say this, like as long as you're trying to min-max the dopaminergic extraction from your brain, you won't be able to savor life. And the third thing, and this is really important, is the one thing that you can truly control in life is your attitude towards what life sends your way. And what we tend to find in people who are nihilistic versus people who are not nihilistic is the attitude with which they receive things. So the next time that something bad happens to you or something good happens to you, pay attention to how you receive it. When something good happens to you, does some part of you say, oh yeah, this is going to be worthless. It's never going to be enough. It's one step in the right direction, but I have 1,000 directions to go. Is that how you're receiving life? Or when you have a setback, do you consider it a failure? Oh yeah, now that this thing happened, I'm never going to be successful. Do you take a setback as a failure? So really pay attention to the way that you are receiving life. My hope is that if you do these three things, have something that you give to life, have something that you receive from life, and pay attention to and hopefully alter the way that you receive what life gives you, then you will give your brain the building blocks to finding purpose.
Hey y'all, hope you enjoyed today's video. We talk about a bunch of topics like this on the channel, so be sure to subscribe for more. If you're already subscribed, GG, and we'll see you in chat.